Hey, everybody. This is very special guest Todd Robert Anderson. Welcome to the Toncast. As promised in our last cliffhanger episode, I will tell you all about my Super Bowl Sunday trip to Universal Studios theme park in Hollywood. It's not really in Hollywood. It's in Universal City, but they call it Universal Studios Hollywood. But it's in the Valley. It's all a big fucking lie. But before I do, I should mention this morning I went to the dentist. If you're just starting to listen to the Toncast, one, welcome. Two, my recent medical history is something that comes up a lot on the Toncast because this is a – well, normally – well, not normally. The concept is that there's a different host in every episode, and the very special guest is always me, Todd Robert Anderson. But due to a combination of logistics and laziness, often it's just me talking into the microphone without a host asking me questions. So I wind up talking about really mundane things because I'm not essentially I'm not interesting as a human being, and I don't really have a lot to say about the world or the state of things. So I just talk about myself. And often that, cause I'm 42, that, often has to do with health issues. Cause yeah, I'm 42, middle aged or almost middle aged. I don't know. I guess these days 50 is middle aged cause a lot of people live to be 100. I don't think I'm going to live probably not that long. I'm probably going to bust out at, I don't know. I'm thinking 78. Maybe stay at a lady. I don't know. You know, I don't know. We'll see how it works out. Maybe earlier. Maybe later. It's hard to say. But there's, you know, I don't, I have a lot of health issues, but, around, Thanksgiving time in 2013, I had a tooth pulled because I cracked it, due to grinding my teeth excessively at night while I sleep. Which means I have, some sort of stress disorder, anxiety problem. They actually gave me Zoloft recently for anxiety, but I stopped taking it almost immediately because almost immediately I couldn't get it up. And I'd rather be anxious and depressed with a boner than at peace and happy with a flaccid penis. That's just that's how that's how I roll. So anyway, I had this tooth pulled, got completely pulled. Kind of ruined Thanksgiving. Well, no, you know, I have a good spirit. I can have a good time even, you know, I was on Vicodin, so it could have been worse. And you know, a lot of the foods at Thanksgiving are soft foods. So, you know, I guess it could have been a lot worse. But you know, that hurt. But then, you know, they have to replace it. And they got to put a, you know, I went in today. I went in this morning for a follow-up visit. You know, I've been wearing a partial denture, for a couple of months now. I went in, cause they were going to put a post in my jaw, you know, in under the gum in the jaw. And then eventually, you know, a fake tooth will go on there. So I went in what I thought was going to be just a consultation to get an x-ray to see how the healing's going and then to set up, you know, a time to, you know, drill into my jaw and jam a screw in there. But he looked at it and he's like, oh, we should just do this now. And I said, well, okay. So they gave me the Novocaine and all that stuff and I'm still like numb. The pain from getting a thing jammed into my jawbone hasn't kicked in yet because I'm still kind of numb, but they said it wouldn't hurt that much. They gave me Vicodin anyway, so we'll see how it plays out. I'm supposed to go. I have a movie coming out on DVD called Fuzz Track City. It's coming out in March, and I got to go to the director's place tonight and he's my old friend Steve Hicks, and we're gonna record a commentary track or two for the DVD. And then after, I'm supposed to go meet my friend Steve Falk out at a place called Foxfire on Magnolia Boulevard. So I don't want to take Vicodin if I can avoid it, because yeah. Hopefully it won't hurt that much and I won't need Vicodin. Because if I need Vicodin, then I'm just going to have to Uber myself everywhere. Uber's this L.A. taxi service where they pick you up in fancy sedans and it's cheaper than regular cabs. It's a good service, I guess. So I did that, and it was weird because I wasn't expecting the whole thing. And then when you have like a medical procedure and you're not expecting it, it's very surreal. Super surreal at a dentist's office. I mean, I guess it'd be different. Like if you needed an emergency surgery because you're at the ER because you felt bad, you might be like, all right, here we go. But this was a little different, you know, and you're awake the whole time. And he jammed a lot of Novocaine into my gum, and they always need to put extra Novocaine into me because I'm highly sensitive to pain. I hear that I'm a ginger, you see, and gingers are supposed to be 20% more susceptible to pain. We feel pain at a higher level than the average Joe. Basically what I'm saying is gingers are pussies. So I'm a big fat pussy, and so I needed extra Novocaine. I hear tell old folk say, oh, I just sat through the pain. I didn't need any of those drugs. Fuck you guys. You're idiots. Why suffer pain if there are drugs to stop the pain? Doesn't make any sense. Life is painful enough as it is. Why add pain that you don't need in there, you old guys who are immune to pain? Anyway, so I did that. So, and then I had the Novocaine. So my lip is still kind of like weird. I'm still numb and weird, but now I have a post in my jaw, in the back of my mouth. And then in 3 more months, I got to go back and they'll do another little procedure where they open up the gum and then they'll put something on top of the screw. And then a month after that, then they'll put the fake tooth on top of the screw. It's a long, it's like takes 6 months to replace your stupid tooth. When the whole thing gets removed, because, you know, if it was a partial removal, then they just cap it. But they had to take the whole tooth out. It was completely split down the middle. It was screwed. So that's the update on my recent medical history. If I talk funny, obviously, it's because I still have Novocaine and my lip feels weird. But moving on, as promised last time, I'll tell you, cause Super Bowl Sunday, just, you know, this is a recap, like in the '80s when they had To Be Continued shows, they do the recap at the beginning, and they do it now. They do it like on, American Horror Story. I watched the end of the American Horror Story Coven, third season American Horror Story. It's called Coven. It's about witches. Boy, did that fucker peter out. I thought it was going to go off the rails or something, which, you know, I wouldn't have minded, but it didn't. It didn't go off the rails. It just sort of petered out. I wasn't into it. But, you know, there was some good gore, so that was fun. Danny Houston got stabbed a bunch of times. Spoiler alert, meh. If that surprises you that someone gets stabbed on American Horror Story, then you're an idiot. We went to on Super Bowl Sunday. We had these free passes to Universal Studios, the theme park, and my wife and I said, "Hey, let's take the kid because we got free passes Super Bowl Sunday, so the lines will probably be pretty short." We were right there. The longest line we waited in was about a half hour. We waited a half hour for the Transformers ride, which is a 3D ride. And you sit in a car and, that's supposed to be a robot car. And you go and you fight, big cartoon robots, and it's 3D. And it's kind of cool because it's the car moves from one 3D screen to another through, you know, city under siege by Autobots. It's a cool ride. I recommend it. And my kid went on it and he liked it, although he said it was too short. That was the longest line. I mean, like, you know, on a regular weekend day, you'll wait 2 hours to go on that ride, which is very short. It's like a 5 minute ride. So it was so much fun and it was so fast that he was disappointed because he had to wait a whole half hour to get on there. So we got there and, it was all Asian people. It was all, there were almost no white people in the park. It was all Asian people because it was Super Bowl Sunday and the Asian tourists don't give a shit about the Super Bowl. So they all went to Universal. Tons of them. We went on the Water World. There's a Water World show there that's been there for like, I don't know, almost 20 years now. Cause Waterworld's pretty old. I think they opened the ride in conjunction with the movie. It's not a ride. It's a stunt spectacular. It's great. It's the greatest stunt spectacular show ever. And I think part of the reason it's awesome is cause it is genuinely dangerous, not just to the stuntmen, to anyone who's watching it. There are massive explosions, boats flying around splashing you with fetid water. Filled with bacteria and then like the climax of the show, this air water plane crashes through the wall and lands in the water right in front of you and splashes more of that fetid water on you. And, it's so much fun and so fantastic. And the stunt work, like the stunt people are amazing. They're like falling off of stuff and jumping away from explosions and they could get genuinely hurt. Cause like towers, like fall, they'll jump off a tower and then the tower falls in the water. So they have to get out of the way. And they have all these sensors up cause my friend, Steve Skelton used to work there and he used to stage manage that show. And they have all these sensors, so if it's too windy or if the weather is off at all, they don't launch the plane because the plane could get picked up by the wind and just careen into the audience, killing everybody. So it doesn't always go off, but we got lucky. It went off because it's pretty exciting. But it was all, like I said, it was all, Asian people and, I think from all different, Asian, I think there were some Chinese people. There was a Chinese tour group and a Japanese tour group, all kinds of, people from over there. For the most part, wonderful, friendly people, didn't speak any English, but, we're having a great time, but all of them had that, you know, that stereotype about Asians taking pictures, they were really kind of driving that home. They're like everybody at the Water World, we were surrounded by people. None of them were actually watching the show. It's a spectacular show and they all had their iPads and their phones out and they were recording the show. So they were looking at the show on these tiny screens while this like massive thing is happening in front of them. And there are explosions. You feel the fire and the water and all that stuff, but they're just holding their cameras out and recording it. And I was like, that's no way to enjoy life. Like through a kit, well, who are you recording that for? And then it's like all small and it looks like shit. It's not like you're getting coverage. I don't know. I don't know why people are like that. It seems like, I mean, they're all having a good time. So if that's what you need to have a good time to look at something that's happening in front of you on a screen to make it better somehow, I guess it just seemed. It was also a pain in the ass because they were holding their iPads up and my kid couldn't see. So I had to hold my kid up above the iPads that were in front of us so he could see the wonderful action transpiring. So we did that. That was great. And we went on the Simpsons ride, which is fun. They retrofitted the old Back to the Future ride, which is, you know, one of those. It's like Star Tours. You sit in a big car and it moves around and you're in a, you know, all one of those curved giant screens. So it feels like you're moving with the movie. So we did that and that was my kid's favorite ride. Actually, we were in line for that ride. That's when my wife and I found out about Philip Seymour Hoffman. So that was sort of sad. It kind of put a dark cloud over a day. What a jerk ruining my trip to, Universal Studios. Actually, he is kind of a jerk for doing that. Anyway, we went on the tram ride, which is awesome. You know, they take you on a backlot tour, which is fun for me because I say to my kid, yeah, I shot a commercial over there because they take you through the backlot and then they take you on more amusement parky rides. But first they just take you through the sets and you drive around and see the sets. And I said, I did a photo shoot here. I shot a commercial here. Here's where I shot a commercial where I had to walk towards a giant jet engine and I got fuel in my eyes here because they didn't have the jet engine up high enough. And if you don't have the jet engine up all the way, it doesn't burn off all the fuel and it sends liquid fuel out into the air. So I was walking towards it and burned my eyes with jet fuel. That was a Tropicana orange juice commercial. The safety precautions were poor on that one. So you can read more about it in my book. Don't Act, 101 Reasons Why You Shouldn't. So, we went on that. That was good. Although the Jaws part was shut down. They had to drain the pool because there's a thing where the tram goes next to a lake and Jaws comes out of the lake. It's a big plastic fish. It's fun. It was all shut down, so we didn't get to do Jaws. But there was all sorts of other stuff. So I got to say to my kid, you know, I did this here, that, there. And then you go on the King Kong. There's a 3D King Kong thing, and the tram goes in there, and King Kong fights some dinosaurs, and it shakes, and you get more fetid water spit at you that's like dinosaur spit. It's cool effects. I like it. My kid liked it, but he got a little scared. Because it's dark. You go in, it's dark, and the thing shakes. It's kind of scary. But it was cool. He was sitting on the right side of the tram, which was the left side of the tram, the flood. There's like a flood. The tram pulls up next to like a town and then the town gets flooded. And that's cool. And then he was also on the right side, which was the left side, for the earthquake. You go into a place and the earthquake happens and these cars crash and explosions and the subway crashes in front of you. That was cool. He liked that. We liked those things with the special effects. So we did all that stuff. That was fun. Although the thing has Jimmy Fallon, like a virtual, he's like you have a real tour guide who's in the thing making jokes and telling you educational stuff, which doesn't educate me at all because I'm in the business. Kind of boring that part, but the Asian tourist didn't know, who wouldn't know what a facade is? But, you know, whatever, they learn, I guess they learn stuff. And they have a virtual host in Jimmy Fallon who, you know, they have videos and he makes jokes. I don't care for it. Other than that, it was a good tram ride. It was fun. I couldn't talk my kid into going on Jurassic Park the ride, which has like an 88 foot waterfall drop, or the Mummy the Revenge, which is a roller coaster. He's not ready for those yet. And, I've seen a lot of families pressure their kids into doing stuff and it seems wrong. So we didn't do that. We went to shows after that, except he did opt to, after we went on Waterworld, he opted to go into the House of Haunts, which we were surprised by, which is a walk-through maze. I think he's a little bit easier if he's more in control of what's going on, because when you sit on a roller coaster or whatever, you're just kind of stuck there and you just got to scream. You got to scream your way through it. That's what I do. I just shout and screech and drool on myself out of terror. But he just opted to go through the walkthrough, maze, which is cool. It's got like Frankenstein and Wolfman, but, it's got people jumping out. They jump out of doorways, you know, that you come around a corner and they go, ah, and it's startling, but we went in with a lot of people. So that he didn't get started. If you're alone in there, if it's like a light, there's light, it's light with traffic, I would imagine it'd be scarier. Cause you don't know, when you're behind a bunch of people, you see the people jump out and scare them. So it's not as scary. So I think that was good for my kid. Cause he's like, when we got in there, he started getting a little nervous. Cause it's dark. And there are people lurching out at you. And there's like some creepy stuff in there. And then the last room in it is like a Texas chainsaw room. And that he actually got startled when this guy came out, you know, with the fake chainsaw and scared him. But then like it's the chain. It's they have like gored up bodies everywhere. Didn't kind of realize it had. It's a kind of an R-rated moment in what we thought would be a PG-13 thing. I mean, we know that we'd been to the you know, Universal Horror Nights that they have around Halloween, and that's R-rated stuff. But we thought that, you know, the day haunted house, the regular haunted house wouldn't have that R-rated, but it did. And it was gory, and the chainsaw guy scared my kid, and we walked out, and he said, "That was not cool." So that was pretty funny. He cracked up all these people behind us. So that was good. But I thought it was cool that he decided, you know what, I'm going to go into this thing that's going to scare me I'm going to go. He did. He decided, you know, to have the experience. And I was proud of him for that. And he had a good sense of humor about it. And it did not give him nightmares. So there's all those things. So then we went to some shows after we did, I think we did Transformers was the last ride we went on. And then we did shows, cause he didn't want to go on any of the other scarier rides. So we went to the first one which he opted for. Oh, and we went to a pub actually after Transformers. This is like a little pub tucked into a corner. And you can get Guinness. I had a Guinness, like a giant Guinness. It was cool. If I had known that was there, other times I went to Universal, that would have been my first stop. At a pub and get some Guinness, and I would have just popped back there every couple hours for more Guinness. Cause amusement parks are more fun if you're drunk on Guinness. I'm serious. So he opted to see, cause he's interested in special effects, you know, but if you ask him if he wants to do, practical effects or, CGI effects, he always says, "Oh, with the computer." Didn't do it with the computer. It's a lot easier. So he's a sweetheart, my kid. He's a good guy. So he was interested in special effects. So we went to the special effects show. It was really cheesy, pretty weak show. You know, they just kind of show you green screen stuff, and there's some practical effects and stunt work and all that. But it's like mildly amusing, I guess. But you know, it doesn't shed any real light. It's not really that interesting. I think the thing I most respected were the two hosts. There was two hosts and then like a goofy supporting host who did stunt work and made jokes, but his job was essentially easier because it was physical and, you know, he would just pop in and make little comments here and there. But the two, it was like a woman and a guy, and they have to time their like cheesy, "Hey, aren't special effects great?" dialogues in between video clips, and they have to have their timing absolutely right, or the video clip will be weird. And they have to be super happy and lots of peppy energy, like infomercial-esque energy. And in watching that, they were the special effect of the special effect show, because, you know, I, as a performer, I'm looking at that going, I would fucking blow my brains out if I had to do this 8 times a day, which they do the same show 8 times a goddamn day, I would kill myself. I don't know how they do it. I hope they get paid really, really well. I don't know what you get paid to do those kinds of things. But it looks really awful. So we saw that, and then we went to the animal show. There's like an animal actors show, and they have animal trainers and the actors. And that was actually really fun. I mean, it's impossible not to find all these dogs and cats who are trained doing tricks really cute. And there was a raccoon and a hawk and chickens and ducks and guinea pigs and all this stuff running around the stage doing tricks. That was cool. I liked it. I mean, I have my misgivings about training animals on that level, but they kept saying, "Well, these are all rescues." But then again, that's what SeaWorld said about that killer whale that kept eating trainers. Oh, he's a rescue. So I don't know, but it was, you know, it was impossible not to be entertained by the show. They were wonderful animal actors, and the trainers were sweet, and it was cool. I did like it, despite my misgivings about animals in the movies. And then the last thing we did was Shrek. We went on Shrek 4. 4D, it's called. It's like a 3D movie, and, you know, it's yet another one that spits fetid water at you, and then you sit, and it's a big theater, but the seats move around and stuff and vibrate. So that was cool. That was fun. And I realized something in all of these 3D attractions is and the ones with the seats that move, because I know they have feature films that are in 3D, and actually in LA a couple theaters have seats that like move around, like vibrate and stuff with the movie. So it's a more immersive experience. But the truth is, after 15 minutes of sitting in a chair that's jerking you around and with the 3D glasses on, that's all I need. I don't need to see a whole feature film. Feature films can stay 2D and worry about a story. There's no need to jerk around in the chair. I mean, unless it's pornography. I would watch a full porn movie in a seat that jerked around and gave you a happy ending. That was too much information. I feel bad. I'm ending the podcast now. Toncast.